Our text for this evening is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 2 through 14. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. They sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, "Tell those who were invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast." But they paid no attention, and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry. He sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." This is our text. Dear Christian friends, once again we are looking at a parable which Jesus uses to show us what he is doing for us. Now, when you have taken a picture, have you ever said, "Okay, one more"? Yeah, I know you have. And sometimes we might display two pictures side by side in order to give a more complete picture, different angles of what it is we're looking at. Well, this parable is like that. In fact, this is one of my favorite parables, because it not only includes the things you find in every parable, that is, first a picture of God and his grace, his free gift of love, then also a picture of us and how we should respond with faith and trust. But this one also has a third element that you find in some parables, and that is the negative result for those who do not respond with the faith as they should. But then, there's a second part in which we see all three again. In this parable, as in the Lord's Supper, we see how we are invited into a relationship with God. We see how we are invited to receive the gifts of God's grace. And we see how we are invited to rely totally on God's grace. Let's see first how we are invited to a relationship with God. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, "Tell those who were invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast." But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry. He sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Now, Jesus is telling this parable to the Jewish religious leaders who knew very well about how God had invited Old Testament Israel into a special covenant with him to be his special people. He had called them, therefore, to the special festivals of the temple, all reminding them of things that he had done for them, Passover being the prime example. But Israel often rejected God's invitation. They ignored him. They worshipped idols instead. They abused and killed his messengers, the prophets, when they called them back to faithfulness in God. And so, God did indeed allow their enemies to come in and defeat and destroy them. But God continued to send his invitation again, generation after generation. And finally, he sent Jesus himself, God, that is, the king's own son. But things hadn't changed. Jesus knew when he told this parable that they would reject and abuse him and soon kill him. But he keeps on inviting. God invites us to be with him, to spend time with him in worship, in his word, in prayer, which is a foretaste of the ultimate invitation to heaven, to the wedding feast of Christ and His bride, which is the church. That's us. We're invited to the wedding because we're the bride. This means God wants an intimate relationship with us. And Holy Communion is our most intimate connection with Jesus this side of heaven. Because here He gives us His very body and blood. But today too, the response is so often, thanks, but no thanks. People respond to invitations to worship like an invitation to dinner with a neighbor that they don't like very much, or they don't like their cooking. Or an invitation to a meal at a restaurant, you know the kind, followed by the sales pitch for something we're not really very interested in. We may even find ourselves responding to Jesus' invitation to receive Holy Communion often with excuses that would sound silly if they were applied to other invitations. Oh, birthday party for me? Oh, thanks, but I already had one yesterday. Well, thanks for the invitation to dinner, Grandma, but you know, I haven't done anything lately that makes me feel very hungry. Oh, not tonight, dear. If it was every week, it wouldn't feel special anymore. Oh, another ball game? Oh, I went to one last week, and sometimes it seems like it takes so long. Well, people today, including us, do have business to attend to, which makes accepting God's invitation sometimes seem inconvenient. God never intended our relationship to Him to be simply a matter of convenience. It's meant to interrupt our self-centered way of life. God wants to change our agenda. God wants to monopolize our time. This is why Jesus dropped everything He was doing in heaven to come here to spend time one-on-one with us on earth. The reason God invites us to spend time with Him is because He loves us dearly. He wants a relationship with us, and because we are being invited to receive God's gifts. The king said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, but those who are invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. Did you notice how God's instructions for eating the Old Testament Passover were that nothing was to be wasted and left over? You can't eat a whole lamb and bite the neighbors. So also with this wedding banquet, He wants everyone there. Those who were invited first were not worthy. So the servants go out and they find everybody they can find, both good and bad. They're not worthy either. The point is not to invite those who deserve it, but those who are needy. The more hungry and poor, the better. When Israel rejects God's invitation through the prophets and through Jesus and through the apostles, God invites and welcomes others. The Gentiles, Rahab the harlot, Ruth the Moabitess, Nebuchadnezzar, the Samaritan woman at the well, the Gerasene demoniac, the centurion at Capernaum, the thief next to him on the cross, the Ethiopian eunuch, Cornelius, the Macedonians, the Greeks, the Romans, the English, the Germans, the Scandinavians, the Asians, the African immigrants, the Hispanic migrants. Everybody come, he says, to God's great feast of salvation. It's free, there's plenty for all, and there's a seat reserved to you at the Lord's Supper, where God serves you personally, forgiveness for all of your sins. Don't hesitate with doubt, thinking, oh, I don't need it, or I don't deserve it, oh, I have to become a better person first. Oh, if I go every time it's served, people will think I'm a really bad sinner. Don't be like Peter in the gospel reading. Oh, Jesus, no, don't bother to wash my feet. I'm good enough already. The invitation to everyone off the street would surprise those people who first heard this parable, because in the Bible, eating a meal together is a sign of a special, close relationship. But God invites us into this relationship, not because there's something good about us, but because this is the way He makes us good. So, Now that we have seen a picture of God's love for us and the proper response to receiving it, we've got a second picture of God's gifts to better understand what it means to respond to them. We are invited to rely totally on God's grace. When the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. He said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" He was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." Be easier to understand this if you had lived where we used to live in Glencoe, Minnesota. There, if you were had been invited to a wedding, or after the wedding, there was always a public dance at the Playmore Ballroom. But if you were invited to the wedding, you got a free ticket to get into the dance, and you got another free ticket for a drink. The free ticket showed you had been invited to the wedding. Jesus showed that when Jesus told this parable, it was similar. When a nobleman sent an invitation to a wedding, he also sent something else with it. The clothes that you were supposed to wear to the wedding. Which meant if you did not have that special outfit, you had obviously not gotten an invitation. We're told everyone is invited, however. But this man apparently seems to think he is just fine the way he is in his street clothes. This would be like going to a wedding and waltzing up to the head table on your own with your folding chair and your favorite potluck plate and a homemade name card. Throw the wedding cracker out. We have God's invitation to us in our baptism. It's engraved at mint one. It's signed by Jesus' own blood. There in our baptism, God has covered us with the robes of His righteousness. But some are still tempted to say, "Oh, I expect to go to heaven because I've lived a pretty good life. Or because I always go to church, or I read my Bible, or I pray a lot." That is, in one way or the other, trusting in something we have done. That would be like going to a wedding banquet in your work clothes, rather than dressed in the righteousness that Jesus gives us. Everyone is invited, but not everyone is admitted if they don't really want to receive the whole package that Jesus is trying to give us. At this table, we share unity as members of Christ's body, along with accepting the whole faith in God's truth, because that's what makes us united. Here Jesus' true body and blood shows us that He genuinely did die for us. God gives us that along with giving us the faith to believe that it is what He says it is. Here, God takes away our sins, which ruin our lives, along with giving us the forgiveness that the repentance that makes us ready to let go of those sins that we are holding on to. Here, God is filling us to overflowing with His love and mercy, along with the forgiveness that flows from us to others as well. If we think we're going to come on our own terms, "Oh, I'll take this, but not that," the wedding host may say, "What are you doing here? You didn't come with what I gave you." Like the wedding clothes that the king was looking for, rather than any of these things being obstacles to keep us from the sacrament, these are things God gives us so that we can fully participate in the blessings of the sacrament. Since we are so graciously invited to the banquet of God's gifts, let's not depend on any of our own goodness, or our reasoning, or our feelings, or our desires, but rely completely on what God tells us in His Word. Rely completely on the gracious gifts of His truth, and His promises, and His righteousness, and His love. Because we are invited into a relationship with God, who wants to fill the whole life that He has given us. We are invited here to receive God's gifts, which we don't deserve, but which we desperately need. And we are invited here to rely totally on God's grace, which He has provided so that He gives us all that we need to celebrate with Him. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen.